Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everyone, this is Juliana McIntosh.
And I'm Brad Sutton.
And this is the Art of Drinking with Join Jules
and your favorite uncle. This is the best home bartending podcast,
where you learn how to make two drinks,
a classic,
and a twist,
plus a little backstory on the cocktail.
So you have an interesting story to tell when you serve your guests
your home-crafted masterpiece.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, Jules. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Excited for another episode here, The Art of Drinking.
The Art of Drinking podcast. And I am so glad that we are here at today's episode because we're finally, finally making a cocktail with tequila in it. I mean, can all my tequila listeners out there say finally with me? Because we've done a lot of gin and we've done a lot of not tequila cocktails. And so it was, we were due.
Yeah, we would do.
Yeah, but this is a great one. This is a fantastic cocktail. If you haven't, for some reason, looked at the title, today we are covering Tommy's Margarita, which is such a delicious, fresh cocktail. And Brad, I'm so excited that we're doing this. And I'm actually riffing on this cocktail by doing another tequila cocktail, even though I may or may not be using mezcal on it. It's actually one I haven't made. So I'm going to be making it for the first time and then tasting it during our cocktail making portion, which is something I don't normally do.
No, that's a bold move. You know, we'll know if you like it or not, huh?
Yeah, no, for real. I'll be honest, but I will say anything with tequila, usually I can drink pretty quickly, so.
But wouldn't you say that you are getting more confident in this area? I mean, not that you've been producing great cocktails for a very long time now, right? So like, I would say you've been pro before you even had the confidence to know that you could do this.
Brad, no, we've come a long way. I think one of my first cocktails I recorded was an egg white cocktail that I served in a coupe, that I put a sphere ice cube in the coupe and I strained the cocktail into the coupe. And the bulb of the sphere was poking out. I didn't get a good frost. So we've come a long way, okay? We've come a very long way, yeah.
That's fantastic. I didn't know that. That's so great. We've come a long way, not only just to understand volumes and what's going to fit in the glass, but also just how to properly make a cocktail. No, I mean, we're going to kind of hammer on this thing a couple of times, but get the frameworks down. When you get the frameworks down, it unlocks doors and you just suddenly a doorknob appears in the darkness. And you're like, oh, you open that door. And it's like, okay, now I'm just going to go explore and kind of make riffs and add and take away. And
yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about those two drinks. We'll get into the history. And then we've got two more questions that we're going to answer here from our Get Featured section on our Instagram page at The Art of Drinking Podcast. Tap on Get Featured there, right up towards the top. And Miss Chris 719, as well as Kara Stahl, Carolstal, asked a couple of questions that we'll answer here in the fourth section after the history.
Yeah, no, we got a good episode. And I will say both cocktails are so delicious, fail-proof. I know I'm taste testing mine. The ingredients in there, I'm like, how can this not be good? I mean, it's spicy. I have mezcal out, so I'm just saying, there's a lot of ways this can't go wrong.
Yeah. I think you're going to do just fine. So let's get to that next section and get cranking.
Brad, I don't know a lot of people who don't like a margarita. So I'm excited you're going to show them Tommy's margarita.
Yeah, I'm going to show the riff on the margarita that is Tommy's margarita. And of course, we'll get into the history here afterwards. But I think this was in part developed out of a disdain for the margarita situation
right
at that time, which was like crappy mix and stuff.
Yeah. Like, I get it. There was a need.
Yeah, there was a need. And honestly, if we're going to be honest, this is just a tequila sour.
Well, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast long enough, all these cocktails are part of one family at some point or another.
Right. So for the purists out there, you're like, dude, there's no Cointreau in there. This is not a Daisy, which is what a margarita is. Mm-hmm. This is a tequila sour. And I will agree with you. But it's called Tommy's Margarita. And that is the name it shall go by
Tommy.
In my book, Tommy. All right. Well, let's get into it here, Jules.
Yeah,
so
sure.
This is an easy, easy three ingredient, four if you want to count the salt solution. But
okay.
The original.
You're really bringing that. I love it.
I am. I kind of like it. Here's the thing, though, about the original cocktail, which again, we'll talk about, but the inventor of this drink, he didn't want salt on the rim of the glasses and stuff to mix with the, or screw up the flavor of the tequila. And I don't disagree, but a couple of drops seems to make everything taste better. So listen, we all evolve, right? I have got my tequila here, this Punta Agave tequila, which I am absolutely loving because it's 100% blue agave and it's from the Highlands. That is a good one. So we're going to go 2 ounces of that into my shaker tin. And for those of you who haven't heard it in a while, it's a 2818, 28-ounce, 18-ounce Boston shaker, my favorite. Then we also have agave in the raw here, raw agave nectar, which is in place of the simple syrup, which actually simple syrup isn't even really supposed to be in this margarita. It should be in place of the Cointreau. So this is in place of the Cointreau.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. In you go.
You said how many ounces?
Half ounce, right. Now I'm going to add an ounce of freshly squeezed lime juice.
Yes, sir.
Because that's the only way we go, is freshly squeezed. We don't use the margarita mix. Gross.
If it's not fresh, we just don't want it.
Couple of drops of saline solution there. I made it 4. And that's just because it makes things stand out a little bit, as the experts are saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my shaker together. Give it a good shake until it's too cold to hold.
30 seconds later.
All right, we're there.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm going to double strain into my glass just because I want to get the pulp out of there. And I also have cracked ice in my glass because I was making
clear
ice over this winter. Yeah, clear cracked ice.
Yum. Mm-hmm.
If only there was a machine that would make this for me.
I know.
Okay.
Need a machine. We need a clear ice machine for sure.
Then I shall garnish with a lime wheel.
What?
Hello, lime wheel.
What?
Yeah. And that, my friends, is a Tommy's Margarita, which is delicious.
Yeah, I feel like if you love tequila, it's a great way to bring in just like your fresh ingredients, classic marg, but just elevate. It's one of those cocktails, Brad. We've said it before. We'll say it again. Ingredients matter. Use the good stuff.
You really can taste the tequila. Like not in a bad way. It's just the tequila really shines through. So the inventor was not wrong in his desire. All right, Jules, what you got?
All right. So I've been wanting to make this cocktail for a while. Full disclosure, I've never made it before, but I know it's very popular. There's a lot of different recipes out there. There's even a book called The Tequila Mockingbird. So I wanted to make it today on the podcast live. The recipe I'm using, there are multiple recipes. So I don't know which one's the right one, but this one sounded the most appealing for me and my taste. This is made by a New York bartender, Greg Sider. He's also the author of Alchemy in a Glass. So this is his recipe. And I'm going to follow it to a T, except I'm going to use a little mezcal instead of tequila. But
hey now.
You can use tequila blanco for this. I'm going to be using a mezcal. It's totally up to you. The other thing I'm going to do, because I saw this online, you can do watermelon cubes. I had watermelon juice. I'm going to be doing that. But if you just have a fresh watermelon and you're cutting it up, do that. But I'm using 2 ounces of fresh watermelon juice. those wondering, well, how do you have fresh watermelon juice and not watermelon cubes? Well, fun fact, I actually made watermelon juice last summer, and I actually believe maybe it was earlier than last summer, but I made the juice and I didn't use it all, so I froze it. I took it out ahead of this. Yeah, so I'm just using fresh watermelon juice, 2 ounces into my shaker, and then 3/4 of an ounce fresh lime juice. Now, normally I do 1/2 ounce of agave syrup. He does 3/4. So I'm going to do 3/4. And Brad, I have wholesome agave.
Oh, wholesome. Just feels like it's good for you. Wholesome agave.
Wholesome.
Get it inside you. It's good for you.
I'm doing his recommended 3/4 of an ounce. I'll let you know if you could cut it to 1/2. I'm sure you could. The other thing is jalapeño.
Hello, my spicy little friend.
2 ounces of mezcal.
Of Jules's favorite spirit.
Jules's juice. You know what? Some people like bourbon. I like mezcal.
30 seconds later.
That's cold.
Nice.
It's so cold I can't. Okay, there we go. Okay, I will say, Brad, I know you're like, really, Jules? Have you switched to a cobbler shaker? This is the only cobbler shaker I have that does not ever spill, leak. I love it. I love this thing.
Okay, so you clearly saw the expression on my face.
Like, yeah, you're like,
cobbler
seriously?
Shaker, come on. Hun.
I know.
What are you running over there?
It's such a vibe, though.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe one day you'll tell us the maker of that cobbler shaker, because I just haven't met a cobbler shaker that I like.
Yeah, this is Mackenzie Childs. They're kind of expensive. Maybe why it works.
Well, yeah. So for starters, like, it better work if that's the case. Otherwise, like, things like cemented onto the top drives me insane. So for those of you that deal with that problem, just throw your cobbler shaker to the side and get a Boston shaker or splurge and get one of these Mackenzie shakers.
Mackenzie Childs. Okay, so I double strained into my glass. I did fill it with tajin. They didn't say anything, but I was like, mezcal, tajin, come on. Dehydrated citrus. And I'm also going to get a little crazy. And I like to do this when I have a jalapeno drink. I kept the little tippy top of my jalapeno.
Nice.
Put it on top.
Oh, look. It's like a little hat.
Little jalapeno hat.
You got like a little elf in there. A little gnome. hanging out in your cocktail. Like hanging out of the ice cube. Like, ah, help me. Save me, I'm drowning.
I'm drowning.
Oh my God. Okay, Nomi.
Oh boy.
How's the water? It's fine. Wow. All right, let's try it. Come on.
Okay,
Jesus,
usually
Jules.
They're
cold. We got a show to run.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh. Oh my God.
Oh. All right.
Is this
Nomi
a drink
approves.
Of the summer? Wow.
It could be. I don't know.
Holy smokes.
You got a garden gnome in there. You got watermelon juice.
Okay, note
that
to
could
self.
Be the drink of the summer.
Never garnish your drink with a jalapeno hat. Never again.
All right.
No hats. Oh, no hats. Oh, boy. Okay.
All right. All right. So you and Elmer approve. That's great. Okay.
Okay. Couple of things. I would cut back if I were making a second one. I would cut back on the sugar. It's great. Trust me. You'll love it. But it is on the sweeter side. So I would cut it to 1/2 ounce. And then I do think using fresh watermelon cubes would just make it just a little bit. But again, wait until watermelon is in season, because if you get a dud of a watermelon, this isn't going to taste good. But man, this is so delicious and refreshing and just yum. This is great.
I will give a shout out to the folks at Twisted Alchemy here, because they did send us some cold pressed juices, which we've been playing with.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a watermelon, and I say was because I went through it quickly.
Oh.
There was a watermelon juice in there that, like, if you don't want to press your own watermelon juice, this was fantastic. I mean, I made a couple of drinks with it. And then one morning I just maybe had a little too much drink the night before and guzzled.
Ooh.
And it was delicious.
I mean,
yeah.
Cold watermelon or watermelon juice when you're hungover. So good. So good. But yeah, Brad, I really enjoy this and I will make this again. So this is a good one.
Well, let's move on to the next part of the episode.
Bradley.
Let's get into the history of the Tommy's margarita, which, as you can imagine, Tommy's was not the first margarita. You know, the history of the margarita, which I think was episode 4. In fact, I know it was episode 4 for us. We got into the history. So if you didn't listen to that episode, here's the short version. So we think it was invented somewhere between the 1930s and 1940s. Some say it's a happy accident that happened in Tijuana during Prohibition, because we loved going to Tijuana during Prohibition because we couldn't drink here.
Yep.
And others say that it was invented by socialites who invented a drink for a party, or the drink was invented for a beautiful woman by a smitten bartender.
Yes, yes.
Or even the famous actress Rita Hayworth was one of the other reasons. Whatever the case may be, it was only a matter of time, in my opinion, before somebody actually just said, hey, let's take this Daisy cocktail framework and add tequila, and boom, this margarita is born, right? Like, yeah. It wasn't like... I mean, this is how all great cocktails are invented. You take a framework, you make a twist. Same thing with Tommy's margarita. So in this case, of course, this is a twist and a classic. But as I said in the last section, it's really a tequila sour. And if we're splitting hairs, this isn't a margarita. It's a tequila sour. But served in a Mexican restaurant. Therefore, it has lime juice and tequila in it. It must be a margarita.
Brad.
Yeah.
Can I guess when it was invented? I'm liking this.
Yeah.
I don't know why 2005 is sticking out to me.
Well, you're wrong. But
damn it. how far off?
A little ways. But you're not wrong to feel that way. And let me tell you why.
Okay. I thought I was getting a leg up on you. I was like, nice. No.
No. Sorry. But it was a good guess. All right. Here's the deal. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to young Julio Bermejo, and he had two parents named Elmi and Tomas, and they owned Tommy's Mexican restaurant in the beautiful city of San Francisco. In fact, the Richmond district of San Francisco, which is off of Gary Street, kind of the northwest corner of the city below Golden Gate Park, for those of you who aren't familiar. And the restaurant still stands. So Julio was a bit of a rapscallion when he was a young lad. And with his parents owning a restaurant, he certainly had easy access to the party sauce. And Julio made good use of that and drank all the things. And what he noticed as a really much more observant kid than I was, he noticed that if he drank Herradura tequila, he didn't feel like crap the next day. Whereas if he drank the other stuff that wasn't so great, or brandy or beers or whatever, he kind of felt like crap. 1982, Jules, Julio joins the family business. And by 87, he was behind the stick, behind the bar, making modifications to the house margarita. Now, Julio, recalling his youth and his experience with the bad stuff, opted for the good stuff when he was making changes to the house margarita. So he took the Jose Cuervo, I'm assuming. They said it was a mixto, but Jose Cuervo's mixto, and any Mexican restaurant I've ever gone to served a margarita back in like the 80s and 90s. Well, I wasn't drinking in the 80s. But, you know, way back then, these crappy just mixto stuff, it was usually Jose Cuervo. Sorry, guys. But you know what you made, and you know what it is. All right. He threw that aside and poured Herradura. And that was an improvement that was made, and people responded to that. And then you're going to be like, okay, yeah, but where was the Cointreau in all of this, right? Well, apparently the restaurant, Julio's predecessor, whoever made this margarita recipe up, maybe it was one of the parents, they didn't have Cointreau in the margarita. It disappeared from the restaurant, probably because it was an expensive ingredient. So they just didn't do it. And instead, they used simple syrup instead of Cointreau to replace the sweet. Mm-hmm. Now, my margarita recipe has Cointreau and a little bit of simple syrup, just because.
You're a sweet guy.
I'm a sweet guy. I got a sweet tooth. That's how that works.
I can't help it.
Back to the story. Here we go.
So he thinks to himself, well, gosh, there's this agave nectar that's out there. Mm-hmm. And that comes from the same plant the tequila comes from. So let's swap out the simple syrup for agave nectar. That was change number two. And then while he was at it, he's like, you know, we really should use fresh lime juice instead of margarita mix.
Smart man.
And that was change number three, which resulted in a fan favorite, because if you think about it, I mean, we're talking about the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bradsell was just starting to do his thing and swap out the fresh limes or the fresh juices for the pre-mixed stuff. And soon Dale DeGroff was doing that here too. It was like kind of like a thing where people are like, gosh, there's just got to be a better way. So when you introduce a margarita that's using fresh lime juice versus a margarita that's coming from mix, no wonder people are going to be like, oh my God, this is amazing, right?
Totally.
So, I mean, because otherwise you're kind of like, well, you know, it's just a tequila sour.
Yeah. Well, plus, I mean, if they're trying to cut down on costs with the Cointreau, they're like, okay, well, we still want it to be a level up. Limes, I'm sure, are cheaper than Cointreau. So you might as well give one for the other, right?
Right, totally. So he's now using fresh limes and he's got agave syrup in there and he's got quality tequila. Well, Julio's passion for quality ingredients and a passion for tequila set the stage for something that was kind of amazing that started to happen. So he started bringing in and tasting a large selection of 100% blue agaves. And that became a platform that he used to educate others on the virtues of tequila, like quality tequila. So he developed this tequila club where customers would come in and they would need to try different tequilas to earn points towards their membership. So now he is establishing this tequila tasting bar, which was like freaking unheard of at this time. So then in the mid-90s, a fella shows up by the name of Tony Abuganim.
The Tony? I love Tony.
Now, Tony at this time was kind of like a up-and-comer, and at this time, he's just a good bartender, right?
Yeah.
Well, his Tony's girlfriend, who lived in San Francisco, really loved Tommy's. So she brings Tony to Tommy's.
Yeah.
And like, oh my God, this is fantastic. And pretty soon, Steve Wynn gets a hold of Tony Abuganim and brings him to Las Vegas to be the beverage director for the Bellagio. So Tony, being impressed with Julio and all of his knowledge around tequila, like the margarita is not a big deal yet. It's good.
Right.
But it's not like a thing that, not a reason why Tony brought him in. So he brings him in as a beverage consultant and as a tequila expert. And this kind of solidifies Julio's place among experts, especially when it came to the spirits category of tequila. So back home in San Francisco, the media is starting to take notice of Tommy's, right? Because there wasn't social media back then. You didn't have Facebook. Like, this stuff wasn't out on the internet. Like, oh my God, go to Tommy's. So like, really, this place was relatively unknown, but the media gets a hold of it. And then the Wall Street Journal writes an article about Tommy's as being this amazing place and up-and-coming bar that's got this incredible selection for tequila. So that's 99, okay? So now Julio is considered the ambassador of tequila, and Tommy's is at like the epicenter of this tequila revival that's happening. So now this article hits the papers. It's a big deal. You've got all these cocktail enthusiasts and up-and-coming bartenders, Tony Abuganim, flocking to Tommy's to get familiar with tequila. Because again, it was just kind of like this novel, like, oh yeah, tequila. You've got Jose Cuervo and what else? So they're getting familiar with this spirits category. And then they're like also ordering the margarita, right? Because they're like, holy shit, this is a really good margarita. This is way better. Julio gets called to the UK and the EU by the Tequila Regulatory Council in 2001. Wow. They said, hey, buddy, you're our ambassador. Let's bring you to help us spread the word in the UK and Europe. So their job is to try to introduce and reintroduce and get people excited about tequila. Mm-hmm. And Julio's job was to connect with all the English-speaking bartenders out there and just get them on board with serving tequila and understanding the spirit. So there he meets a guy by the name of Dre Masso. Now, Dre Masso worked at this bar called Lab, which was like this super popular bar in London. In 2003, Julio is back home by now. Masso contacts Julio and says, hey, can I come visit you? I'd love to work at Tommy's and just learn about tequila. So he did. He comes to the United States. Masso is now working at Tommy's, and Julio is teaching him the ways of tequila. Well, that's where Masso met the house margarita that they're making. And he's noticing like, God, all these people are like ordering this margarita. Maybe I should try one too. And he does it. And he's like, oh my God, this is an amazing margarita. So when he heads back to the UK, he brings the recipe back with him. And he introduces it to his buddy, who is Henri Bessant. Now, Henri Bessant was also a big deal because he was an understudy for Dick Bradsell.
Given
that both of these guys are in the who's who, they're telling their friends with some level of credence that this is an amazing margarita, you need to try this. And they start making it at their bars. And by the way, this is when they say, oh, this is Tommy's margarita. Like, they give Tommy's house margarita the name Tommy's margarita. So now people are putting this on all these menus and they're calling it Tommy's margarita. Mm-hmm. And that's how the drink got its name.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So here's a cute story. So Julio knew the drink was becoming popular, but maybe his parents didn't. And so he was traveling to Cape Town, South Africa, and he walked up to the bar with his mother and he ordered a drink. And he says to the bartender, hey, do you know how to make a Tommy's margarita? And the guy's like, yeah, sure, no problem. And he goes and makes the margarita. And his mom, I guess, looked at him like, what just happened? Like, I'm in South Africa and they're like, they're making our house margarita.
Oh my God. How cool.
Yeah. So to her amazement, their little family run restaurant is now all over the world. And literally this drink is on menus from like New Zealand to, you know, South Africa to obviously the United States, Canada, everywhere. This drink is everywhere. And now Julio is still part owner of Tommy's, which is still located in San Francisco, off Geary, where it all started. So if you, and thank God they survived the pandemic, right?
I know.
So if you are in San Francisco, you got to go to Tommy's, which is also on the 50 best bars in the world list.
I think they have a really good happy hour too. I'm almost positive. I went.
Get out of here, really?
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm totally going to Tommy's next time I'm in San Fran. I wish I was doing all this research back when I used to travel so much. Now it's like, all the missed opportunities.
Yeah, wait, let me see. Oh, I have been to Tommy's.
Well, now how do you know that? You're looking at your phone. Would you like take pictures? What was that?
Because if you see, they have a neon sign at the top that says Tommy's Mexican Restaurant. And I remember that sign thinking, well, that's a great sign. I don't know how it was years ago. I don't know how sober I was because I don't remember what
I got. Well, hopefully you got a margarita.
I'm sure I did.
So that is the story on the Tommy's margarita.
That's awesome.
So you weren't wrong too much when you said 2005. I mean, it was it hit the ground after Masso went back in 2003. After Masso went back, so 2004, 2005.
So technically, I'm not far off.
You're picking it up. You're feeling the vibe.
I was thinking, okay, mixes, I feel like were popular in the 80s-ish. And we started to get away from them in like the late 90s, early 2000s. So that's why I was guesstimating there.
Good one.
Yeah, right. That was my critical thinking cap.
I love that. Yeah.
But Tony, I didn't realize, also kind of helped. You know, we should have him on the show too.
100%. Don't you have a connection to Tony?
I am friends with Tony.
Yeah. We got to bring Tony on.
We got to get Tony. You said Tony, and I'm like, wait, why haven't we had to? And by the way, listener, Tony is an absolute legend in the industry. He is still like, he's so revolutionary in what he's doing and the award, like he is just the coolest guy. We got to have him on. Brad, were you able to get a hold of Julio by any chance? I know you do your research, but I assume he's still.
I did shoot Julio a note and it was, unfortunately, I shot him a note this morning because I was like, oh God, I have a question. And I'm like, why don't I do this when I'm doing my research?
Yeah.
Like weeks in advance, but.
Well, if he gets back to you, maybe we do a follow-up on the margarita and have him on as like a tip section spot.
100%. Yeah, it would be great to have him on.
Well, cool. What a fun history. I like that one. I love tequila cocktails.
I do too.
Yeah, I finished mine, so I had to add a little soda water in mine just to keep the juices flowing and keep my top hat afloat.
Yeah, I got to keep your little gnome happy. Hey, how's Elmer doing in there?
Yeah, he's still kicking. We have not tips, but tips based on our listeners' questions, and some involve my favorite spirit. So, Brad, let's get on to the next section.
All right, let's do it.
Brad, I love this section.
Yeah, I'm kind of digging it. I'm glad we started doing it, and listen, please ask your questions. It's so much fun.
Yeah. What do we got today? What's on the docket?
Well, today the docket is, we've got two questions, Jules. One is by Carol Stahl.
Okay.
Carol, C-A-R-O-L-S-T-A-L is her Instagram. And then Miss Chris 719. So why don't I answer Carol's and you answer Miss Chris. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because this Chris is right up your alley. So Carol says, how do you get your tequila sunrise to have that nice red color at the bottom of the glass? Mm-hmm. And we haven't covered the tequila sunrise yet, and maybe we will, but just in case we don't, here's a recipe for you, because I can't tell you how to do this without giving you the recipe.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just rude.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Carol, all you do is you add the grenadine first.
Yeah.
And that's all that there is to it. But let me give you a recipe for it and tell you how to build it and then kind of bring this to life for you in your mind's eye. So what you're going to do is, you're going to take 2 ounces of tequila and you are going to take 4 ounces of fresh squeezed orange juice and you are going to shake that in your shaker. And then you are going to take 1/2 ounce of grenadine, preferably homemade grenadine. But if you want to use the nuclear red stuff that you get at the store, I won't tell if you don't, but the homemade stuff's really better.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are going to add your grenadine 1/2 ounce to the bottom of your Collins glass. Then you're going to put in your ice, and then you are going to pour in your orange juice and tequila that you just shook up. And then what you want to do is you want to take your bar spoon, and you want to put your bar spoon in the bottom and just gently kind of move it around and just stir up the bottom a little bit. You don't want to fully incorporate it all the way to the top, but you don't want that red, solid, clear line at the bottom either. You like kind of want that to mix in like a sunrise, and what you'll see is it'll start to mix up. It'll be darker at the bottom and gradually get lighter until it fades totally away into orange at the top. And that is how you do that. So easy.
I will say, Brad, as like a little tip, you say blend. What I found, it's kind of like when you talk about, maybe we talk about this in the mint julep, but I find the bar spoon trick where you just gently lift up and push down and lift up and push down.
Yeah, but just not too much. Because you don't want it coming all the way to the top.
Right. But instead of mixing it in a circle motion, I feel like lifting up a little bit kind of helps to give you that more gradual, beautiful.
All right. Well, I tell you what, Carol, make two. One Jules's way, one my way, and see which one works out. And then take a picture and post it back to us, will you?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Jules, what you got? Oh, wait. Do you want me to read the question? Or you got, well, you know what the question is, don't you?
Okay. I'll read the question. But I do want you to answer.
Okay. You want me to answer?
I want us both to answer.
Okay. Because it's your favorite mezcal cocktail. And, you know, we're talking to somebody who is just getting the training wheels off the old mezcal trike here.
Meanwhile, I can't live without it.
Yeah. Well, do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
Well, I'll go first.
Okay.
Let me take this one.
You go first.
I'll go first. So, favorite mezcal cocktail. There are a lot of answers here. I love them all. Anything with tequila and with mezcal is my favorite, but there are two that really stand out. One I will almost always get when I visit Mexico because they have these, and you can get them here for sure, but they use them everywhere. These like little limes. They're like the key limes, but they're different. They're the little baby limes. They are just so different in flavor. They're so delicious.
Yeah, they're small.
Yeah. They make a mezcalita and it is so fresh. It's your mezcal, you got your lime juice, you got fresh orange juice, you got a salt rim, a little bit of agave. And it's kind of like a Tommy's margarita, I guess, because I don't think, depends on where you go. I don't think in your mezcalitas you necessarily need orange liqueur because you have the fresh orange juice. And I'm telling you, when you get it down there, and we can recreate it. I think I have a video up, but I'll share it again. The mezcalita is just like such fresh flavors with that earthy, smoky mezcal. It's just chef's kiss. Now, the other cocktail I will say that is so freaking delicious. It's a riff off the Paper Plane is the Naked and Famous. Now that is with mezcal, Aperol, yellow chartreuse, and fresh squeezed lime juice.
Yeah.
It's just good.
That is good. Actually, a friend of mine asked me, his sister picked up a bottle of yellow chartreuse, and he's like, I don't know what you can do with this, but you should ask Brad. And she showed it to me. I'm like, oh yeah, no, totally. Naked and Famous. That's the way you want to go.
So good.
So I do like a Naked and Famous as well. I'm a big fan of the Oaxacan Old Fashioned. So you got tequila.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, it's just so good. You know, it adds a nice little smoky flavor to the tequila or to the Old Fashioned. Yeah, Mole Bitters is the way to go. I made like a pre-batched thing of Oaxacan Old Fashions the other day. I had some people over. We were doing a little barbecue fun time here at the house, and those were quite popular, Jules.
It's also a great way to taste, right? To kind of understand, okay, what kind of mezcal do I like?
Totally. Speaking of mezcals that I like, somebody turned me on to this liquor store called France 44 here in the Twin Cities. And it's Vámonos Riendo. Uh-huh. And it is a tequila, which it's so funny. At the top, it says, let's go laughing. I don't know if you can see that. It is so good. And I am like a mezcal baby. And this is like he said, look, if you're new to mezcal, this is a great place to start because it's more on kind of like the lighter, fruitier side, not so heavy on the AutoZone and oil change side. So this is my go-to sipper when I'm in the mood for mezcal, which I can't even believe I just said. When I'm in the mood for mezcal, because that mood happens.
Brad, you're growing up.
Vámonos riendo. So there you go. Thanks for your questions and keep them coming.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Especially if they have mezcal on them. I will answer those any day of the week. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
All right. More mezcal, please.
Uncle Brad.
Cheers, Jules, and thank you everyone for listening to the show.
Don't worry, we will have the photos and recipes for today's cocktails on the website joinjules.com.
And if you got questions or comments for us, hit us up on the Insta at The Art of Drinking Podcast, and of course, find Jules at Join Jules or at Favorite Uncle Brad. That's me, also on the Insta.
And hey, subscribe to my cocktail club on Facebook. All you'll need to do is search Join Jules Cocktail Club, and there you'll see what other cocktail enthusiasts are shaking up.
This is a Red Rock Music podcast.
Don't forget, subscribe, like, and review The Art of Drinking with Join Jules and your favorite uncle wherever you get your podcasts.